The following program, the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, is paid for in full by Acunet Mortgage, LLC, an equal housing lender, consumeraccess.org number 255368. The advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts and guests of Acunet Mortgage, LLC, and not WTMJ or Good Karma Brands.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, getting you inside information on buying, selling, and financing your home with expert advice from Acunet Mortgage and Realty. And now, here's Brian Wickert and Tim Holtman.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, licensed real estate broker with Acunet Realty Advisors and also the majority owner of Acunet Mortgage, along with my son-in-law, Tim Holtman.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Tim is one of our senior loan consultants. If you've got a question or a comment, you can call or text us on the WTMJ Talk and Text line, which is 855-616-1620. And remember, you can get a copy, a podcast of today's show, or any of our past shows, wherever you normally get your podcast. Maybe you want to subscribe. Well, last week was a big week, Tim, for economic reports.
Yes, indeed. Big is the nice way to put it, I guess. Yeah. It was a big week.
And we had three reports come out. And remember this, folks, price inflation and a strong economy are bad for mortgage rates.
The enemy of mortgage rates, yes.
On Tuesday, the Labor Department provided their measurement of price inflation for January at the retail level, which is called the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. And unfortunately, the report showed prices were higher than what economists had expected. If you look at it, and you look at core inflation, which excludes food and energy, and that came in at 0.4%.
Yep.
Compared to December, and economists were expecting 0.3.
Right. So it's more about, were they just higher than expected, right? It's all about, did it match expectations or was it worse or better than expectations?
In this case, a little worse.
Yeah.
And then year over year, that core inflation was 3.9% for January. And that was over and against an expectation for it to calm down to 3.7.
Right.
So stock market didn't like that.
No.
Bond market didn't like
mortgage rates. Did not like that.
Mortgage rates did not like that. And so using rates reported by Mortgage News Daily, emphasis on the word daily.
Daily, yeah.
Because they update their rates daily. The 30-year fixed conventional conforming rate with all the right stuff increased to 7.13%.
Over 7 again.
After the CPI report, whereas it was 6.96 the day before.
Right.
The recent low point reported by Mortgage News Daily, do you want to hazard a guess on what the recent low point was?
6.7?
6.62.
Ooh, all right. 6.62.
Which was back in mid-December. Then it went up, and then it came back down, actually, to 6.63 on February 1st. Someone buying the median-priced home in southeastern Wisconsin, which for 2023 was $310,000 and putting 25% down, if they have a monthly payment at 7.125, that's $77 higher.
Yep.
Than if it was at 6.625.
Right. $77 bucks a month. Yeah.
That's not a lot.
No.
But the rate with the 7 sounds so much worse.
It's a total mental thing at the end of the day. And, you know, you and I were talking off air. It's no one, I shouldn't say no one, very few home shoppers, in my opinion, are looking at Mortgage News Daily or some equivalent website where they're literally monitoring rates on a daily basis. So, you know, I kind of chuckled, and I'm sure you did too, a lot of these articles, and maybe we'll talk about some of them, though, you know, the headline is, rates shoot up, discouraging home buyers. You know, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, I bet you most people weren't even aware of the change or fluctuation in rates as they were home shopping.
Correct.
You know, they're still going to be out there looking. And if the news is, sorry, your monthly payment is going to be about $77 more a month until rates come down and you refinance, I bet you the serious ones are probably not going to get discouraged too much by that news.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. Yet it makes for good headline fodder.
Of course. Yeah. Good clickbait.
I have a client that I talked to, and we're going to talk about him more later on the show, who got an accepted offer over the weekend. And I was kind of texting him and saying, well, okay, now here it is Monday. We got this big report that comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, do you want the bird in the hand or
see,
you
want
to see if it gets better? And he delegated the decision to me.
Oh, that's good.
Which I took my father's advice, Jack Wickert, the first, and I said, we're locking. Yeah. And so we are looking smart.
And you look like a genius.
Well, you know, better lucky than good. But we got him a 699 on Monday with no points and just $994 in total loan costs. And again, solid, we'll talk a little bit about more of that later. Well, then on Thursday, we got the retail sales report.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, two-thirds of our great economy depends on consumer spending. Not on what Boeing spends to make aeroplanes or what the government spends. Just this you and
people
me,
deciding to go out and buy stuff.
And buy stuff. And so that report came in worse than expected.
Yeah.
The market had been expecting a drop of 0.3, mm-hmm. and the drop was 0.8.
Oof.
So I half a percent different. Well, that was helpful for mortgage rates, and we gained back, what did you think, about a half?
About a half of what we lost.
Lost?
Yeah.
Well, then along comes Friday, and we learned that inflation at the wholesale level in January, that's called the producer price index, well, son of a gun, that was hotter than expected again.
Yeah.
Up 0.5% on core inflation against an expectation of just 0.1. So that was once again unfriendly for rates.
Yeah.
Put it all in the blender. And if you wanted to get a $250,000 mortgage with 25% down, 780 credit or better, and all the other right stuff from your friends at Low Overhead Acunet, we could still deliver a 6.99 rate as of Friday. And that would be with $1,560 in points with the APR 7.08. And remember that we still have our excellent special 30-year fixed money for first-time home buyers.
Yep.
That's for households of three or more people. You can make up to $114,885. For one- and two-person households, you can earn up to $99,900. That rate is 6.125%. With 20% down, the APR is only 6.14. All right, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this client that we helped get an accepted offer over the weekend. You're listening to the Accurate Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Home buying advice from the guys who know it best. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, and that over there is Tim Holdman, my son-in-law and super senior loan consultant at Acunet Mortgage.
Good Thanks morning. A little bit more senior every day.
There you go. That's right. Me too. All right. So on Thursday, I got a, what was it? Oh, somebody clicked on the blue button.
Nice.
And wanted help with a pre-approval. And it turned out it was a referral from Jim Cantrell, who owns Financial Strategies, a financial advisor. And
shout out to
the
Jim.
Guy that knows Jim, I thought, well, you know what? I'm not that busy. I'll contact this customer and see what's up. Because I don't.
The customer got a loan directly from the boss, Brian Wicker.
So, really strong buyers. They've been renting, interestingly. They sold their primary residence 3 years ago and they're renting, but now they wanted to buy again. And they wanted to buy on a place with a little acreage. So they're looking at, and they had a place in mind. Okay.
Very cool.
On 5 acres. And so we were talking strategy, got their W-2s, got the asset statements from Financial Strategies right away. So bing, bang, boom.
Yep.
Excellent credit. So I'm writing, you know, getting ready to issue the rock solid guaranteed pre-approval letter. And I say to the husband in this case, okay, so tell me about this property again. Yeah, we saw it, you know, yesterday. And then, oh, you saw it with a listing agent?
Mm.
Yes, you did. how are you going to plan to write the offer? And how is it going to use the listing agent?
Sure.
Tell us the potential issue with that, Tim.
Well, the listing agent would love that because they don't have to split their commission with a buyer's agent.
Right.
But, you know, the way I explain it to customers is you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to write, you know, make an offer with the listing agent. But in my opinion, it's kind of a conflict of interest because the seller's realtor or the listing agent, as it's commonly referred to, is they have a fiduciary responsibility to get the seller of that house the best deal possible. Usually
That's
means
right.
highest purchase price, you know, so on and so forth. You know, how can that agent also simultaneously work to get you the best deal as the buyer?
They can't. And they are obligated under the Realtor's Code of Ethics to treat you as a customer and treat you fairly. But if you ask that listing agent, what do you think I should offer? The only thing that listing agent can say is the listing price.
Right.
And so So luckily, we're friends with attorney Pat McMahon, who's both a real estate broker and an attorney. And I said, maybe you want to consider using Pat as an attorney.
Yeah.
Not right. in his role. Not as, so he's not going to get a piece of the commission. He's just going to charge you
a flat fee.
A flat fee to write up the contract so that you have the peace of mind of knowing that somebody is on your side and is explaining, you know, things super thoroughly.
Yeah. Pat is a super valuable asset. Yeah. I've tapped him on the shoulder a lot for sale by owner transactions and similar thing. He won't take a cut of the commission, but he can still write up the contract and advise you as a real estate attorney, which is very helpful.
So then I say to the buyer, well, now, you know, let's see if we get a appraisal waiver on this property.
Sure.
Can you give me the address? And I put it through, and unfortunately, it didn't get it, which is, even though they're making a big down payment,
Sometimes it just, we don't get it. I checked one last week, same thing.
Yeah, well, and it's, I think it's because it's a little more rural.
Sure.
Right.
Not as much data out there.
Yeah. The computer systems, the data just isn't there to say, yeah, I've got a lot of data points of property.
Right.
Like this. And so we didn't get that. And I said, but let me explain this idea called appraisal wiggle room. And he says, Brian, I listen to your ads. I know what that is.
Oh,
it's great. Right.
And, music to your ears.
Yeah. Music to my ears. And so they're putting enough down where, you know, we were talking about, well, how much appraisal wiggle room could you offer these people?
Right. And keep your risk minimal.
Yeah. And the answer was a lot.
Awesome.
So they ended up putting in their offer with something like $19,000 of appraisal wiggle room.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And with their big down payment. And then the other key thing was that I believe the sellers are moving out of state.
Okay.
Okay. And so I'm not exactly sure who was the intelligent person driving this, but they found out that the date for occupancy was potentially important to the sellers. And so they wrote their offer with a 60-day close, okay, and then offered free occupancy for another 60 days after that.
Perfect.
If needed. Why is that 60-day number important?
Well, it's the maximum that they can legally offer to let the sellers live in the property, because Fannie and Freddie's rules are, if you're buying a home and you're going to call that your primary residence, you have to be able to take occupancy with no more than 60 days post-closing.
Right.
So if you wrote a 61-day post-closing occupancy, which I've seen very agents miss this detail, It can cause an issue for the financing, where we have to underwrite it as a non-owner occupied mortgage.
Right, or change the contract.
Right, or the easier thing is to change the contract, trust me, yeah.
When we come back, well, I already told people what we did. They got their accepted offer.
Hey!
Against like four other competing offers, or three or something like that.
Next week, you'll have to update us on the appraisal and where that comes in.
That's right, because we ordered the appraisal already, and that's in the works.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that. But that's great. That's a fun thing.
That's help how it should go. Yeah.
They write their offer and they get it on the first try. Bam.
Boom. That's the dream.
We're doing all the right stuff for them. All right. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we're going to talk about an article that I saw online with some little misleading headlines. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on Wisconsin's radio station, AM 620 WTMJ.
Getting you into the home of your dreams. Here's more of the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Weckert on WTMJ.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to today's show. So, Tim, you know, I always just Google before we do a radio show, you know, housing market news. And so two of them came up that I wanted to address. One was from Newsweek, quoting a rate of like 6.85 on a 30-year fixed rate, which, you know, people that are in the business hate the Freddie Mac Thursday news release because
it's misleading.
It's backwards looking. And it's like over a 3-week average. So it'd be like if you're telling people, what's the temperature today? And you were reporting, what was the average temperature?
Over the last 3 weeks, it averaged to be this.
Well, that's not what I am. What is it today?
And it's not helpful. Yeah.
So as we reported earlier in the show, the current average 30-year fixed rate for a conforming loan in America is about a hair over 7%, according to Mortgage News Daily. Because they report the rates daily. Well, then this other, so that was one thing I just wanted to get out there. If you want real rates and up-to-date rates, Mortgage News Daily is your friend.
I'd say more often than not on my Google feed, the articles that talk about rates are not correct because they're not looking at the most recent data. And I mean, in a volatile week, which this has been a volatile week for sure.
Yeah.
Every single day, the rate could significantly be different, either up or down.
And yet serious home shoppers aren't that glued.
No.
To that. And so let's say that that's one issue. Now, mm-hmm. the other thing, the other headline, and I like Redfin. Redfin is a publicly traded real estate brokerage, mm-hmm. and they have a great economics department, and they do a really good job grinding the numbers. Well, yeah. the headline...
And they're a lot in a lot of places, too.
Yeah, they're 400, and they are in Milwaukee. They have an office in Milwaukee. The other interesting thing about their business model is their agents are employees.
Right, not independent contractors.
Yeah. Which is the norm in the industry. So, anywho, their February 15th news item says, housing market update, home prices and mortgage rates rise, pushing would-be buyers to the sidelines. And so, you know, that is a true statement, perhaps on a national level.
Right.
And what I liked is they have this nice little leading indicators of data, you know, that they're using to support that. So they do actually quote Mortgage News Daily.
Hey, there it is.
With a 7.09% rate mm-hmm. as of February 14th. And they say, hey, that's up from 6.75 a week earlier and up from 6.54 a year ago. All right, cool. They note that the misleading Freddie Mac average was 6.64. That's off by almost 0.5%.
Yeah.
Purchase applications, they're quoting the Mortgage Bankers Association mm-hmm. as being down 3% from a week earlier, up 1% from a month earlier.
Oh,
okay. But down 12% year over year. So, okay. That is an indication that there's less activity.
For sure. Yeah.
But we don't know if that's because of buyers or lack of inventory.
Right.
Then the other cool thing that Redfin does is they've come up with their own home buyer demand index, which is a measurement of requests for home tours and, quote, other home buying services from Redfin agents. And sure enough, that's down 6% from a week earlier and down 18% year over year.
Which, if you know, logically, if there's less showings or requests for showings, that would mean there's probably less offers being made, theoretically.
The demand side is down. And lastly, Google searches for homes for sale, they quote as being down 11%. Mm. All right. So what does this mean? If two things. All that matters. So those are big global national numbers, right?
Yeah, that's national data. And that doesn't really mean it's necessarily the reality for our local market, the 5-county metro Milwaukee area.
Well, and even within that, I have never met very few people say, you know what, I am willing to buy a house anywhere in the 5-county metropolitan area. So when it comes down to it, what is the supply and demand dynamic
mm-hmm. in those smaller markets?
Yeah, yeah. In the much narrower mm-hmm. sub-market in which you are looking yourself.
Right.
So when we come back here after the upcoming news break, I want to tell a story about a first-time homebuyer couple that I was introduced to by the man's father looking to buy in Washington County in a specific price band. And a lot of interesting things to talk about with their story.
Excellent.
And very good students, you know, of this new thing to them, home buying game. But it's going to come down to, hey, what is it like in your little band that you're looking at? Doesn't matter what the national numbers are.
No.
Because they may or may not apply. We'll get to that right after the news. Now it's time to turn it over to the WTMJ Breaking News Desk.
Don't break the bank to get into a house. Back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to today's show. I'm Brian Wickert, the elder here. That's my son-in-law, Tim Holdman, over there.
Hello.
Senior loan consultant with Acunet Mortgage. And so, Tim, we talked a little earlier in the show about a nice introduction we received from a financial advisor. And, you know, the other thing, when you manage to stay in business, it'll be 25 years in July.
Coming up, yeah.
Is you get the multi-generational referral. Mm-hmm. So this next story is about a first-time home buying couple in their mid-20s, referred by their dad, who we recently helped. And So the story here is looking to buy their first home in Washington County, and they're thinking in the $300,000 to $400,000 range. And so they filled out a really cool online application form, which is slicker than ever.
Yep.
And they were diligent, man. They uploaded their pay stubs, their W-2s.
I love that.
Their bank statements. I mean, we had everything we needed.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah. Before I even talked to them a week ago Saturday, Becky was driving us somewhere in the car, and so I had my laptop, and we had a nice conversation. We had about a two-hour drive, and so we talked for maybe about an
perfect.
Hour of that
okay.
drive. And a couple things that are instructive about this that I think would be surprising for most of our listeners and any real estate agents too. Hmm. So the first thing that we're working on is, in this case, the wife's income. Is it eligible or not?
Ooh.
And so this gets to a topic that I think you and David have talked about before. And it's a hot topic in mortgage lending called variable income. So,
Tim,
what are the different kinds of variable income that we're talking about here?
So variable income is, if I were to put it in a nutshell, basically that anything that is not salary. So it could be hourly wages, it could be commission, it could be bonus income, overtime income.
Those are the four that I was thinking
there
of.
There you go.
So in this case, the wife had been working in, I'm going to call it the HR industry or recruiting, something like that.
Okay, sure.
And had been paid hourly, thank goodness. Now she switched to, I'm going to call it the hospitality industry.
Oh, so new employer entirely,
new employer
right?
New employer entirely, and also switching industries.
Yeah.
And also getting paid hourly, but getting paid a higher hourly rate. And she's only been there since November.
Okay.
So I want to point out that a ordinary mortgage company or bank would probably just ask the home shopper, how much money do you make? And mm-hmm. she would have said $23 an hour. And they'd have gone, great.
No problem. Yeah.
And they probably wouldn't have dug into the fact that, hourly equals variable. Mm-hmm. And the rule book for mortgage lending says you have to have a 2-year track record of earning variable income. Well, she does. Yeah,
but not at the same employer.
Not at the same employer, and she kind of switched industries.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's, we got to solve that issue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, husband is salaried, and so I'm working up the numbers, and it's like, okay, what if we can't use her income? I'm always looking at
what's the worst case scenario. Yeah,
and the answer is, if we don't do anything with her financial picture, they could afford to buy about a $330,000 home.
And this is just off the husband's salary?
This is just off the husband's salary.
Got it.
And what I think most people, most even of our customers don't realize, unless we explain this to them, we're actually, whenever we pre-approve somebody, we're approving you for a payment.
Okay, right.
We're saying, how much of a monthly payment can you afford, which is made up of lots of assumptions, like how much money do you have to put down mm-hmm. versus the purchase price?
Right.
Then the other thing that is, what about the property taxes on mm-hmm. the home? Now, luckily, they're looking in Washington County, where the property taxes are
lower.
Much lower.
Yep.
And then the third thing is there going to be any private mortgage insurance involved, which the pricing on that can vary.
Yeah, based on credit score and loan program and
all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then homeowners insurance. Let's not forget that homeowners insurance has gotten more expensive of late.
Yeah.
And is a real factor, especially when you're trying to cut it close.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in their particular case, the scenario was, well, if you buy a $330,000 house and put 10% down, so $33,000, and that property only has $3,600 in property taxes, and the homeowner's insurance comes in at $1,300. I'm trying to go a little bit on the high side with that.
Just in case,
Then, you know, you can afford to buy that home with just mm-hmm. the husband's income.
But there's no wiggle room on that, I'd imagine, or very little, which means you know, don't go out and open up a new credit card to buy that new bedroom set a week before closing.
Correct.
Or, you know,
When we come back, I'm going to tell you the other clever thing that I found as a solution to boost their purchasing power.
Oh, excellent. Good.
We'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on the biggest stick in the state, AM 620 WTMJ.
important home buying questions and answers you can count on. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back, and thanks again for spending a little bit of your Sunday with us. We're just telling a story about a first-time home buying couple looking to buy in the $300,000 to $400,000 range in Washington County. Have a nice nest egg saved up. They're willing to, and plus, Tim, they don't want to use all of their money.
Good,
which is good.
Yeah, leave some in the bank.
But they've got about $40,000 earmarked for this home purchase for down payment and closing costs.
Good for them. That's.
And folks, remember, it's not just the down payment. You have to put money aside away for your future property tax escrows. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for
first year's homeowner's insurance premium.
First year's homeowner's insurance, which, you know, could be $1,000 or $1,300. Yeah. Don't forget, you got to pay for a home inspection.
Yeah.
You know, that's $500. You do that before closing. There's all kinds of little things. Loan costs at Acunet are running about $1,300-ish right now, unless you're going to pay points,
right, which is voluntary.
So we're talking about, okay, that a challenge that we are working on is whether or not we can use the wife's hourly income because she changed industries.
Because the whole point is we're trying to sniff out these potential issues before you go out and fall in love with a house.
Right.
You know, buyers out there listening to this, this is part of what we do. We want to give you that confidence, that peace of mind that the mortgage is all but approved by the time you actually go out and make it.
Right. The only thing that's in question is maybe the property.
Right.
So in this particular case, so Acunet Mortgage doesn't collect monthly payments.
We are not the servicer.
We're not the loan servicer. And so we end up transferring the servicing to other much larger companies. And the benefit of that is what we're going to do now is we are getting formal written verifications of employment from this woman's previous two employers. And we're going to take all the information and we're going to put that on the altar of the underwriter at one or more Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac servicers.
Right.
Which
is a nice ability that we have. We don't just have one kick at the can when it comes to approval.
Correct. Yeah. So we're going to ask, okay, are you willing to allow the use of her hourly income?
Right.
Another thing in her hip pocket is maybe we'll get her new employer to guarantee her 30 hours.
Done that before. Okay. If they're willing to write a nice short letter saying, you know, Mrs. Smith is guaranteed to work X number of hours per week, if not more.
Right.
You know, then that is gives more confidence to the underwriter to say, yes, that, you know, we can use this, you know, hourly wage as basically guaranteed, for lack of a better word.
So we'll see. That's yet to be determined. But in the meantime, right away after talking to him on Saturday, I had an idea. Here's how you could go buy a house today.
Mm-hmm. With just your salary,
With just the husband's salary.
Yep.
And the answer is up to $330,000 if we don't do anything with the rest of your financial picture. But we can go all the way up to $370,000 American dollars.
Nice.
If we take $17,800 of the money that you earmarked for down payment and closing costs, and we pay off your car loan.
Oh, interesting.
Which has a $383 monthly payment.
Sure.
At an interest rate of 8.125.
Oh. So you're already paying more interest on that borrowed money than you would on the mortgage anyways, theoretically.
And rate-wise. They'll have that paid off in 5 years. But,
good point.
But interestingly, that lowers their total monthly obligations by like $270 a month.
Right. Their monthly nut. Yeah.
Correct. Furthermore, and this is shocking to me, Tim, we have the ability to estimate what would happen if we make certain maneuvers to your credit score, because the husband has a very good credit score, 747.
Sure.
But that's now third banana.
Yeah, they used to be top tier, anything over 740, but that recently changed.
Right. So now you got the 760 to 769 tier, and then 780 and up is the best.
Right.
So interestingly, if we pay off the car loan, our credit predictor gives a 55% likelihood of his credit score improving to above 780.
That's surprising to me.
I had never, this is like shocking that paying off an installment loan would impact positively a credit score. The other two things, though, that they can do, and they don't have a lot on their credit, you know, they're not credit card users. But another thing was paying down a credit card that has a 750 balance down to zero.
Right.
So not a lot of dollars for somebody that's got 40 grand. Yeah,
but it frees up the utilization, which is key.
And the other one was just pay it down by like 350 bucks, some other little card they have.
Nice. Yeah.
And that'll get us into the 760 range. Mm-hmm. So there are things that we can do. And the way that's going to impact their financials, it's going to lower the cost of the private mortgage insurance.
Right. Which means lower monthly payment, which means they qualify for more house.
Wait, there's more. The other cool thing about only using his salary is that we are then qualified for Fannie Mae's special 30-year fixed rate program called Home Ready.
Excellent.
Which is limited to 80% of area median income.
Maybe we should leave the wife's income out of the picture anyways.
It is, you know, it all depends.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, I got one more nugget to share about that. I'm going to drill down on what is the supply and demand dynamic for where they're looking.
Good.
We got that and a little bit more coming up right after this break. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Find a place to call home without the headache. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickard on WTMJ.
Again, thanks for tuning in to today's show. That's Tim Holdman, Senior Loan Consultant with Acunet Mortgage over there. Taller, more handsome, younger.
You flatter me.
Father of my two grandchildren, two oldest grandchildren. And I'm Brian Wickert, the elder. So we're talking again about this couple who's looking to buy their first home in Washington County in the $300,000 to $400,000 price range. One more element to that story. This is kind of the complete story, Tim. You know, it's about, which people's income do we use?
Yeah, this is next level loan consulting. This is not, McDonald's mortgage where someone applies and they just get their loan. Well, this is diving way deeper. And I think providing a way better level of service than you would get at a lot of different mortgage companies.
Well, thank you. And so one of the elements was, okay, how are you going to conduct your search? Well, we were given the name of somebody, a real estate agent.
Sure. Everyone knows a realtor or six.
That's right. So let me just crack open the hood on multiple listing service and see if there is some realtor in that area who has worked with more buyers. You know, let's just kind of rank them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone with more reps is typically going to be a better choice, more experience.
I did the search for Washington County last 2 years, 300 to 400,000 single family detached price range. And I came up with somebody who had 7 transactions.
Which in that, that small micro market, we're talking about, you know, the smaller the market. That's a lot.
That's a lot for that little thin slice.
Absolutely.
And then the person that they gave me the name of had 2.
Yeah.
One in each year. So, I mean, they're going to have to decide. But I called this agent who happens to be the owner of the real estate brokerage and had a nice chat with her because she's also licensed in Florida, where Acunet Mortgage is also licensed.
Amazing.
And amazingly, I said, okay, you're probably running a team. You know, who would you hand these people off to? She says, oh, no, I'll work with them.
Excellent.
I'm like, awesome. So I've yet to tie the ribbon on that and explain to them, this looks like a good fit to me. But the other element I haven't shared with either of them is looking at that subsegment, and I'm kind of nerdy. Tim, you know that. I'm a pivot table guy. And so I have in front of me here stats for that subsegment, $300,000 to $400,000 single family detached in Washington County. And last February, 43% of those buyers paid over asking. And then it quickly spiked to 78% in March, 82% in April.
Yeah, market was heating up. Yep.
85% in May and kind of stayed bouncing between 60 and 69% through September.
Sure.
So this is a tale to, this is the time when demand is higher.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We're getting into it. So you should expect.
We're ramping up now.
By the way, a percentage of buyers who paid $10,000 or more over asking in this micro market, 33% in March, then 53%, 54%, 49%. That takes you through June, 53% in July, dipped down to 44% in August, but then back up to 58% in September. And then it tails off.
Yeah. Right.
So again, supply and demand is this magical economic phenomenon.
Law, yeah.
The next conversation, I'm going to have with these young buyers is, okay, now you got to be prepared to probably pay more than the asking price.
Right. And that's not actually that scary, because in terms of what it does to your monthly payment, for every extra $1,000 that you borrow, it increases your monthly payment on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage by like $6.50 a month.
$6.50.
I like to frame it in those terms, because that's way less scary. If you're going to say, I'm going to offer $10,000 more, that's really just you're increasing your monthly payment by $60-ish a month.
And then, though, what we have to educate them on, and luckily they have resources, and this is all gonna, it's a multivariable equation. Mm-hmm. The powerful thing to the seller is to say, hey, your house is listed for $350. I'm willing to pay you $360 and still buy it.
Even if it appraises out at
$350, right. That's what we call appraisal wiggle room.
Yep.
And that is such a powerfully attractive idea
to the sellers. Yeah.
Because otherwise, you can, hey, I'm going to pay you $50,000 over your asking price, but it's got to appraise for that. Well, that's kind of an empty offer.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we'll keep you up to date on that.
Yeah.
As the weeks roll on, hopefully we'll get another fast result.
Do they have a timeline where they want to buy by a certain time period?
Okay. Yeah, because they're going to go month to month on their lease shortly.
Which probably means their rent goes up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're motivated.
Good.
Better sooner than later. All right. That's all the time we have for today's show. Thanks again, Tim, for filling in today.
Happy to.
You've been listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on Wisconsin's radio station, AM 620 WTMJ.
The proceeding was a paid program. Advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts or guests of Acunet Mortgage and Acunet Realty Advisors, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.